Thank you for listening to the 200 Churches Podcast. This is episode 204.
You know, I think you'll find that a good coach is going to help you inquire and identify these areas in your life, and then they're going to inspire you and align you. And what they're going to do is they're going to ask you, where do you want to go and what's your plan, and help you integrate that plan and help you initiate that. And then they simply evaluate and repeat that process with you month after month after month, and you'll get better. To me, that's where encouragement comes.
Welcome to the 200 Churches Podcast, where every Wednesday we produce a fresh episode of ministry encouragement for pastors of small churches. Now, here are two guys who, like you, serve in the trenches of small church ministry, the Kobe and Shaq of ministry podcasts, Jeff and Johnny.
This is the 200 Churches Podcast. My name is Jeff Cady. I am sitting here in the luxurious and opulent 200 Churches Podcast studio, replete with black leather chairs.
Oh, yes.
Mahogany finished table.
It smells of rich coriander and spice.
And special Amsterdam ink pens.
Oh, my goodness.
With my good friend and podcast partner,
Johnny Craig.
Johnny, it is the holiday season 2016.
It really is.
We're like right in the middle between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah. My wife's birthday is tomorrow, and it falls in between those two things. So, happy birthday, Kayla. You don't listen to this.
Which is the only reason why you're on episode 204.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So, today's birthday, it's my father's birthday today.
Oh, I didn't realize
he
that.
He would have been 85 had he lived long enough to celebrate this day.
Sure.
My daughter's birthday is today, and she is, I can't say how old she is because, you know, you don't
Has she reached that age where you can no longer say what age she is?
No, I guess I could say. She's 29 years old.
She's at the forever birthday.
She's at the forever birthday. No, 39 is the forever birthday.
Well, you're 29 until you're 39.
That's true.
And then you're 39 until you're...
That's true.
Whatever. Yeah. Dead, I suppose.
So today's a special day.
Good.
December 12 has always been a special day.
Yeah, that's cool.
In my life.
That's
and
cool.
It was replaced by my daughter.
Yeah. So the holiday season, we're stuck in the middle, and we have a great podcast to help you as you fill in this time of the year. Look, I think, Jeff, this is just me. I think this is one of the weirder times for the church calendar, right? Cuz you're like in the Advent season, and a lot of churches you're like looking forward to the Christmas Eve service, right? And like a lot of churches do big things. What you said, your friend Rob has like six Christmas Eve services or
just
some
four.
Craziness.
Don't exaggerate.
Whatever, just four. Okay. Yeah. So you've got all these Christmas Eve services. I know my friend Eric, his church like blows it out for Christmas Eve. But the weeks leading up to it, it's kind of like, you know, just hype. You know, like it's like a weird time of year. School's about to get out. Maybe your midweek, you know, children's programming isn't going to be happening the week up to Christmas. And it's just kind of like this gooey time in the church calendar where you're kind of going through and you have something on the horizon that you're going to get to. But in the today, you know, it's like, what's the drive? I don't know. I think it's goopy. So we're here to help.
But we're also in that goop, which I'm not so much feeling the goop.
You don't feel the goop.
I'm not feeling the goop, okay. But I'm feeling the trying to recreate the Christmas.
Oh, sure. That's part of it, too.
The Christmas series every
right,
year.
Every year.
But it's amazing. You go back, you dip your bucket into the well, and water always comes up.
Amazing that the story of Jesus could
right,
always result
right?
in
so
good
it's a,
teaching.
It's a pretty deep well. But I'm thinking about, you know, we're looking ahead to the new year.
Yes.
And we're looking at, it's just going to be an odd year because it's going to be 2017.
That is odd.
So it's going to be an odd year, but...
What kind of statement is that?
Even though it's going to be an odd year.
It's going to be an odd year. Thank you, Jeff.
There are things that you might want to accomplish in 2017.
I hope that despite the fact that it's an odd year.
And one of the things
you have goals
we're talking about today is coaching. Coaching, personal coaching.
Yeah.
And how to get help.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy that we're talking to today, and I don't remember if this is part of the recording or not. But their church every year uses the Natural Church Development Process.
Every year?
NCD. Every year.
They go through it.
They go through it and they find out which right. is the weakest link of the eight quality characteristics of a healthy and growing church.
Let's do that at our church in 2017.
We should. We did it like 10 years
Let's
ago.
Let's do it again. That'd be fun.
Right? 10 years ago we did it.
Yeah.
And now I can't even tell you which one of the eight was our was our low one.
Sure, sure.
But they do it every year, and he talks about, and he may talk about this, he talks about inspiring worship service was their weakest link. And then what he did about that is really encouraging to me, because most small church pastors, most small churches don't have a lot of extra money for the pastor to get executive level coaching. But there are executive level coaches around, and we're going to talk about that in this episode. And it could be that as you look ahead to 2017, you can really accomplish some things with the help of others, and it won't cost you a red cent.
Yeah, this is cool, and I'm excited to listen to this episode. I wasn't able to be part of the conversation, appointments and whatever else going on. So this is the man with two first names. You replaced me, a man with two first names, with someone else with two first names, which I find appropriate.
Ray Brandon. And I worked together almost 30 years ago. We worked at United Parcel Service together.
You know, another UPSer. I would have felt happy to meet him.
Yeah, another UPSer.
I was a UPSer, for sure.
And I said to Ray, as we were talking, I said, Ray, you've become so talkative. I said, back in the day when we worked together, man, you never talked this much. He said, Jeff, we started at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go at 3:30
in the
morning.
You're ready to go,
but no, Ray was a great guy. He was somewhat quiet. He was a hard worker, and he was the word I would put next to Ray is just normal. He was just a normal guy. He didn't have any weirdness about him. He was there. He did his job. He was a neat guy.
This is Jeff's favorite compliment to give. If you are called normal by Jeff, congratulations.
Hey,
that's like the nicest thing he says about.
That's better than being abnormal.
I'm just saying. I've heard you say it before. It's you like when people are normal. Okay, let's get into it. This has been fun. This is a good conversation with Ray Brandon.
Ray Brandon, my old friend. It's so good to have you on the podcast today.
It's great to be here, Jeff. Thank you for the invitation.
It's been way more than 25 years since you and I worked together.
It has been, and we were quite the team there, unloading, loading package cars.
Oh, I loved it. But you know what? You were a good guy back then. I can't believe you've gone into ministry, and that you're probably, your heart is all soiled and stained now, and you're probably pessimistic.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's so true.
you sound like such a mean, evil guy. Ray, you've got like such a soft, kind demeanor, and you did 30 years ago as well.
Oh, thank you very much, Jeff. I appreciate that.
So Ray, tell our listeners where you are and what you're doing.
I'm the pastor of Northbridge Church in Kalamazoo, Michigan. So I'm not sure when this will air, but we are the home of the Western Michigan Broncos, which are one of two undefeated football teams in college sports today, and headed to the Cotton Bowl. So this will probably go out sometime after the new year, and so hopefully we'll still be defeated, undefeated. Oh, that's terrible. You'll edit that out, right?
Oh, no, I want to keep that in. Now, Ray, unfortunately, Johnny's not with us today, but Johnny is the sports guy. And we're always joking, like I'm sitting over here, you know, organizing my deck of cards while he's talking to people about sports. And so I'm like out of it. But I have seen a lot of these pictures on your Facebook page. And so you've been putting a lot of those things up. Do you have a kid on the team or that goes to the school?
I do not. But I've been to almost all the home games this year. And we have a ministry at Western Michigan University. Last year, actually, we had a service on campus. So it's very close to where we live. So we're a university town with Western Michigan University and K College and KVCC that are all here close together in Kalamazoo.
That's cool. So, Ray, what are you excited about at your church right now?
Well, we have a church that we planted 11 years ago. And so it continues to grow. We're really turning a page. We just planted a new church called City Gate Church in Portage. They're growing. They're running about 125. We were able to raise up the church planter. He was in middle management at Stryker Corporation, a guy who just had a heart for God and for teaching and for people and loving people to God. And it's just been a thrill to see that grow. And, you know, as a result, see our church grow. And, you know, when you're generous, generosity in some ways, it hurts. We gave away quite a few people in really last spring as they were in pre-launch, last winter, spring, as they were in pre-launch. And we were just doing an evaluation, and it was we're a church of right around 400. And so we saw a 25% drop in our attendance. The people that we gave away to the church plant, they're excellent. They're leaders. They're tithers. But today we're averaging the same attendance that we were a year ago. So, you know, God has blessed here, and we're in a transition now as we've helped plant that church, saying, okay, God, what is next? What's next for us? And that's exciting because it's a place of, we know who we're trusting, but we get to step out in faith. And that is that's a very exciting, humbling, fearful place to be. So, yeah, that's where we're at. We're excited to see what God's going to do next.
So that's interesting. You said that, you know, the church plant is growing and your church is growing. And now when you described it, you can see how that worked. So, you know, they've got more people and you've got more people. And so both churches are growing. Is this the first church that your church has planted since it started?
Yes, this is. And we really wanted to, we really had plans from the get-go to plant early. And that just never materialized. There was one attempt that we tried to do a satellite to plant, and you know, for all practical purposes, it failed. It didn't go well. However, the failure was a great learning experience. There was a lot of things that we learned from that, and so we were able to back up and alter our plans and put on some new skills and. We went right back at it. And in the meantime, I've had the opportunity to learn a lot about myself and coaching a church plant and coaching church planters. In the last 11 years, I've had the opportunity to coach a few other guys who are in the process of planting.
That's really interesting. So a couple things are bouncing around in my head right now. Failure. Right. I'm thinking about pastors that are listening that are right in the middle now of maybe having to define something that they started in their church as a failure and they're feeling terrible about it. You know, they're losing sleep over it. Give us, you know, with that church plant failure. And I'm glad, I think you used the term failure, right? And I'm glad you did.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we try to soft soap it, you know. We try to give some spiritual blessing out of it, but it's a failure. But the truth is that in failure there's great learning. Just give us something that you learned through that. You said about yourself. What did you learn about yourself in that situation?
I learned that I have limits. We were really trying to do this satellite. I didn't have the right people in place to have the capacity to really give that the energy and expertise and time and attention that it needed. You know, we were so committed to saying, you know, God, we want to be used in this area and we want to see new people come to know Christ as Savior. And I mean, it is all about that. I mean, that's really important. But it really, God reels us back in from time to time. And he says, you know, that I'm not so much concerned about me using you as you being close to me and connected to me. And so, you know, I just learned that we all have our limits. And, you know, people say, you know, the sky's the limit and dream dreams. And that's really not true.
Oh, you're a dream buster,
God is limitless.
Ray.
and we have to know, you know, we have to know our capacity. And we all have that. And we all need to live within that. But when we're connected to that limitless God and we're sensitive to what he's doing, that's when things begin to move. And you know, at that point, we began praying. We said, you know, we can't do this without the right person, whether that was a campus pastor planter or a church planter. You know, through very providentially, God led me to John and we became friends. And I just one day I said, hey, you know, I know God's using you. You want to go into ministry. It's something that, why don't you come to Northbridge and, you know, I'll mentor you. You know, we'll take you through the steps. We'll send you out as a church planter, you know, and we'll send you to assessment and we'll help you move through those benchmarks. And you know, God's hand was on John. And it's true when he says, when Jesus says, you know, take my yoke upon you for my burden is light. When he's doing the moving, we're doing a lot more watching than we are doing working.
Yeah. Yeah. I like what you said about, you know, God looking at you and saying, you know, you're way more concerned about me using you than I am. You know, I'm not all that concerned because I, you know, God's got all the resources, right? But you know, I got an email, a couple emails recently from pastors who are involved in church planning struggles. I mean, what church planner isn't involved in church planning struggles? I mean, there are probably some struggles with your new church plant right now. Are there any?
Oh yeah, there's. They have no parking. I mean, that might be minor, but you know, you're trying to get a church up off the ground, and it's a very small building. They can afford it. That's a good thing. Small building, no parking. It's out near the airport, which it's right next to the airport hotel. They have, you know, just a real different mix, and they've taken that as an opportunity for ministry. But you know, they have a church next to a motel that has alcoholics and drug addicts and. You know, and that's part of their mission field and their ministry, but that was not in the plans. You know, they weren't seeing that area of ministry as something that that was in front of them and to prepare for that.
Yeah, that's a challenge.
You know, it is, and you think you're called to do one thing, and a pastor who has had a failure in ministry. And shows up on your doorstep. That happened to our church planter and a guy who's broken and needs, you know, needs help and needs a place to worship and a community to be a part of that's going to help him through a very difficult time in his life. And those are the kinds of things that you don't put in your church planting business plan, but yet God brings them to you and he gives you the strength and that's all part of his shaping and character building. And, you know, it's his work.
Ray, you barely qualify to be on our podcast because you're a church of 400, and we've always said that the 200 Churches podcast is for pastors in churches of 200, give or take 100 or two. So if you give 200 to 200, that's 400, you barely qualify. So maybe like in 6 months, you will not qualify anymore to be on the podcast.
Well, let me put it this way, Jeff. I think even though we're, you know, we are a church, we run, given the Sunday, from like 385 to 450, right around there.
Oh, I don't know.
That's where we're at. But let me say this very lovingly. We are a blue-collar church. We are very, very diverse. We do multiple languages here at our church. And if this puts us in the category, and it's just where our people are at, it's one of those things that we realize we have an incredibly small building for the church our size, and our budget will probably, if you took the majority of the churches that are at 200, their budget is, I can almost guarantee that the majority of churches at 200, their budget's bigger than ours.
That is a blue-collar church, Ray.
So if that, I think we qualify if you put us in that category. If you just go by budget,
okay.
We qualify.
Oh, if I go by budget. Hey, Ray, you and I have talked about coaching, and you have both been coached and you've coached others. So talk to us about the benefits of coaching, and especially for pastors who would say, you know what, man, there's these coaching contracts that people get into. Isn't it expensive? I mean, like I once paid $3,500 for coaching, and I would say I probably got half my money's worth, but I didn't get my money's worth. That was a long time ago. But I think a lot of people think they can't afford coaching, and what's it going to benefit me anyway? So let's talk about that for a minute.
So let me give you the perspective of being coached, because I feel like I'm an expert in being coached more so than coaching others.
Okay.
Although I really enjoy doing that, and I'm coaching a few guys right now. But I have received just an incredible blessing, skills, correction, insight from coaching that I could never and I would never have received on my own or even in books. You can read books, but there's a processing that you have to do that doesn't speak into your life like someone else who's physically there and can see you and know you and can ask the right questions and really help you stay aligned with where God has you going. There's a book that I read a while ago. I don't even remember if it was a great book or, but I remembered this from it. It was about I think it was called the Necessary Nine of Effective Pastors, something like that. Mm-hmm. And one of those is that we continue to learn, that effective pastors are just constant and lifelong learners. Then it's the institutes that begin with, in order to have knowledge of God, we have to have knowledge of self. And in order to have knowledge of self, we have to have knowledge of God. There's that, and that creates that lifelong feedback loop that we need to be learning about ourselves and about who God is and about the world around us. And so I really think that the key to our church being transformed, to churches being transformed, is our own health and our own continued transformation. Hmm. Nothing good is going to start externally or apart from the leader and the leaders being transformed by God. And I think that's where coaching is an essential part of that transformation. Jesus himself did that. I mean, that's what discipleship is. But when I talk about coaching, it's somebody from outside of my formal ministry or formal context that has some kind of informal contact with me and my ministry context that can see in and then can give particular perspective.
So somebody that's locationally near you?
Yeah, so I think that coaches, they can be near. I'm coaching a guy who's over in East Lansing right now, so that's an hour and a half away. We live in a world that we can be connected and get to know one another. I have a particular role although he has two other coaches, the church plant that we planted. So John, who's our church planter, I have a particular coaching role in his life, and that's simply a coach of encouragement. Hmm. I'm to be his cheerleader and his encourager. He's got some other coaches with other particular roles in his life, but I know things and know how to encourage him, and that's my job. So it can be further away. I think it's helpful if they know something about you, something about your church, your ministry, your history, that makes them a more effective coach. But it's not necessary.
What areas have you specifically been coached in, or are the coaches you've worked with just general?
So I've had some general coaches. So Dr. Doug Fagerstrom, he was an executive pastor at Calvary Church in Grand Rapids when Ed Dobson was there, became the president of Grand Rapids Theological Seminary. When I planted the church, and he was my church planting coach, that was a general coaching in planting the church and being careful I didn't step on landmines that would have caused casualties myself or others around me, and just really giving direction through that that assessment process and pre-launch and right into the second year of the church being in existence. He was right there. We would meet monthly. He was a phone call away. He coached me in that regard. That was a general coach. But a couple of years ago, we have a very small building, and a couple of years ago, we recognized that we needed to move to three services, and we participate in the NCD survey, which is Natural Church Development, and recognize that one of the metrics of the NCD that was lower was an inspiring worship. And so we were a church that was growing, we were outgrowing our building and needed to move from two services to three services. And how are we going to do that? And so there's a lot in that. So I brought in a guy who helped coach me in preaching and would listen to my messages. And that was sometimes difficult to hear his evaluation.
Man, you've got to be secure to do that, don't you?
I think you got to be humble. I think you've got to, you know, be just humble, and it will humble you. You know, it'll teach you that you don't have the level of humility that you really need to have. And so that's a really good thing. And I'll tell you, a guy, Jeff Abbott at Ada Bible, he is their, I'm going to get his title wrong, but he is their worship production director. So they have multiple campuses, I think 14,000 people on a Sunday, and multiple venues. And Jeff was really helpful in me as, you know, I have an associate pastor. There's two of us on staff here. We have a number of very part-time people on staff, but he came in and he really helped me develop systems for worship. He's not only a great technical guy where he understands technology, but he understands people and teams and musicians. And that whole world is new to me. I don't have all of those skills. And you know, we're actually now talking about the fourth service. We had a fourth service. It was a little different. It's a college service, and that ministry has changed. But we're talking about, you know, the fourth service here on our campus in Kalamazoo in the future. And we never would have been able to do that without Jeff Abbott and his amazing coaching.
So if you would have just stayed in-house, worked with your leaders, you know, maybe read some books, tried to, you know, do the best you can, without going outside and getting outside expertise, you would not have been able to do what you've done.
Jeff, I can tell you, without going and getting outside expertise, I don't think I'd be in ministry.
That's a great lesson, Ray. And I hope if you're listening, this is a great lesson for you to learn if you haven't learned it. And it's amazing to me at my age, all the lessons I haven't learned yet. And like you said earlier, Ray, we're continual learners. But to go outside, sometimes we're so frustrated. We're looking in our church. We're looking at our leaders. We're looking at our people. We're looking in the mirror, and we get frustrated. And then when we think, okay, I've got to pick this up. I've got to learn this. I've got to find the books, the resources, you know, the online training or whatever. But a coach, somebody who's already doing it, that can come alongside of us, that is a great resource. So to get attend to this low, what do you call those things in the barrel that Natural Church Developments, they've got the slats.
Yes.
You know,
right,
this slat called Inspiring Worship Service was low. To address that, you got involved with a preaching coach and with a worship team, you know, consultant. And were those the only two that you did? And when what... I'm interested in the preaching coach. What did you learn? What's maybe one of the specific things that you learned about preaching that was able to improve how you preach?
I learned a lot of things. You know, I learned a lot of just technical things with my delivery. But I think the big thing was getting right to the point. When we were in two services, I had pretty lengthy messages. I really enjoyed it. But at the same time, I was giving too much. I went down to about 30. I preach between 30 and 40 minutes now, but mostly towards the 30-minute mark. And that takes a lot more work. There's a lot more clarity. And so it's developing that, you know, that real clarity in preaching. What are people taking away? That's actually the beauty of using year after year an NCD, because the Natural Church Development and because that evaluates the inspiring worship, really evaluates what are people taking away from worship? Are you having the impact that you intended to have? Is that going beyond the door? We all want people to their lives to change beyond the back door of the auditorium. You know, we want to make sure that what we're doing up front and during that service is carried right out into Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And that wasn't happening through my messages. And so they had to get shorter and more memorable, and we had to get to the point and spend a little bit more time with less. And less was far more impactful.
How long were your messages prior?
They were about 45 to 50 minutes, 55 minutes.
Ray, you had patient people.
Yes, I did.
55 minutes,
thing,
huh?
Though, Jeff, you know, we planted the church. Our services went an hour and a half. We've only been in the three services a little over a year. No one complained. No one gave me the feedback that it was too long. I still, you know, I've asked and I still think to this day that I don't think anybody realized. And here's the danger of not getting that, you know, that outside perspective. It wasn't that no one cared or anybody was impatient or thought church went too long, you know. And so I think I could have kept going down that road of not being effective and no one would have said anything. And what a waste that would have been. But because, you know, because we were experiencing growth, because we needed to go to the three services and it changes some of the dynamics within our building that's helpful. And we knew we had to fit that within an hour. I said, how am I going to do this and do this well? You know, we did as much homework as we could with the people that we had internally. And I think that's the, you know, sort of the beauty of, in some ways, of being a church plant. But we all have to think about it. And no matter how old your church is, we are not experts of the culture of today when it comes to communication. There's some things in church that should never change because they're helpful to the clarity of the gospel. They always, and they're central, and the Bible makes them central. Other things, if they impede the clarity of the gospel, we have to get rid of them, change them, and help the gospel become clear. And it's really hard when we're the person who's standing in the way.
And we don't even know we're standing in the way.
Correct, yeah.
That's even more hard. So are your services to an hour now?
They're right in an hour. We have 30-minute turnover, and the next service starts. And so,
how many fit in your auditorium?
200, comfortably. We don't have 200 in each of the services. So it's a very intimate setting. I really enjoy it. It allows me to pastor people as well. So I'm in the process of training elders, and we always talk about, you know, there's those 15 minutes of ministry time before and after services that are some of the most valuable ministry time in our week, and to make sure that we're visible to people and that we're attentive to them. And because sometimes that's the only time that we're really going to be able to identify what's happening in their life and spend some time. So it gives me that much more time to be able to do that throughout a morning.
So you've been at this church for 11 years, and it hasn't always been at 400 people. So you were a small church pastor for probably a number of years.
Yes.
And still consider yourself a small church pastor, right? Like you said, each service is intimate, and it's not like you got a crowd of 500 in front of you.
Yep. Everybody's headed small, Jeff. Everybody's moving small. As things get bigger and we lose that intimacy and connection, the whole world is trying to get smaller. And unfortunately, technology doesn't connect us. It overpromises and underdelivers when it comes to relationships. And so that's where the advantage, I think the great advantage of the small gatherings and small churches. We have always said in our church planting strategy, we want to plant healthy and mid-sized community churches that can really, I mean, we're in a rural setting, suburban rural setting. And if you said to somebody who lives not too far from here, but outside this community where Cooper is, they don't even know Cooper exists. To most people, it's just four corners. But it really does have its own identity and people and needs. And I think if the church were to fold, there would be some significant things in this community that wouldn't happen. And I'm thankful, too, that there was a church in this building before us that was at the end of their life cycle and had some godly older people who said, we want to see a gospel witness still happen in this place. And so because of that, I was able to wheel and deal with them. And we've been in this building and been able to be debt free since we started, as far as a building, which was a blessing that they knew this community and this community needed the gospel.
You just said it. You talked about everybody's going small. Let's just talk about that for a minute, because we have been fighting for 4 years to change the thinking of pastors in ministry, and it's beginning to change. I mean, we're beginning to get just a little bit of momentum where people are realizing that a big church, a large church, a mega church does not have to be the objective. And you still can have a passion for evangelism and for the gospel and to see lost souls come to Jesus without having a passion to absolutely need a very large, you know, a very large church or a mega church. Talk to me about this for a minute. What are you thinking here when you say that everything's going small?
I think it's all about relationships. It's all about places where people want to connect with other people, and they're looking for that. We live in the big box world, but that's not the longing of people's hearts. And ultimately, I think it harkens back to the garden and to sin itself, that there is something in us that wants to remain anonymous, and there's certain things in our world that provide that anonymity, although not really. I mean, it leaves us empty. And people want to go to places where they are loved and people know them and they are accepted for who they are. And church does that, accepts, and Jesus accepts people the way they are. And the beauty is, though, he desperately wants to change them, because the way that we are, the way I am, is sinful and lost and hopeless. And I don't even know it, but there's something in me that wants that connection. And so, you know, regardless of the size, if the church is creating that space for that connection and they figured out how to do that, it is so much harder to do in larger churches. But in smaller churches, we don't have that problem, or at least it's not as big of a problem. We've got other things that we have to work through, but we don't have that issue. We're kind of made for, you know, Generation Y, that they've never lived without Google and all of those kinds of things, but they don't have people to talk to and help them apply the things that they're learning in life to their own lives. And that's what church is.
Ray, that's awesome, because again, you know, my heart and Johnny's heart is to encourage pastors of small churches to know that what they're doing is making a huge kingdom difference. And when they walk into their crowd of, you know, 18 or 30 or 42 people, you know, they can get discouraged as a pastor. I was there. Ray, I don't know if you remember, but back in the day, I pastored a small church in Factoryville, Pennsylvania. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that I remember walking in one time to we actually did a Sunday night service in that little church. I walked in. There were two people in the service, two people. And you know what I did? They sat in two chairs amongst all the chairs, and I got up behind the pulpit, and I gave my message. And I was an idiot because I didn't just sit and talk with them, ask, you know, what the needs in their life were, and then just have prayer with them and encourage them on their way. I gave this message that I used to give. I've had a church service of two, and nobody was my family. It was just me and them, and then we had maybe 50 was our top in the several years that I was there. It can get discouraging, though. And what we want to do with the 200 Churches podcast is to remind pastors it doesn't matter the size, that the kingdom work they're doing as a shepherd and as a minister of the gospel is just as important no matter what size the church is, and to treat it that way and to know that and then to feel that reward and fulfillment of being a shepherd of God's sheep and actually helping people in their lives, you know Jesus, know each other, and, you know, live the fullness of the gospel in their life. So you've helped us do that in what you've said. Now, talk to small church pastors for just a minute about their ministry, and talk to the pastor that's facing the odds, right? Now, the odds at the church where you're planning, right? No parking. And as Rick Warren always says, people in our day and age tend to bring their cars to church with them. So you do need some parking. And the airport hotel, they're facing some odds there. Talk to the pastor who's facing struggles, facing some odds, looking at the new year coming up and saying, you know, I don't really have a vision for it. I don't really know what I'm going to do, and I'm not sure that this thing is going to succeed. What would you say to him or her?
First, I would say, you know, I've been there. I think when the same time that you were pastoring that church, I went along with a pastor and planted a church in Wilkes-Barre, and it was a Korean church. So I did the English ministries at the same time that he did the Korean service. I was in the basement. I had teenagers, college students, and Korean War veterans. Most of them were in wheelchairs or, you know, just older men.
Wow.
It was, it is challenging. And I think anywhere along, you can, you know, we all know that the pastors that have looked out at 1,000 or 2,000 people or, you know, so it's 2,000 or 2,000 and can be discouraged. So discouragement isn't, it isn't a church thing or church size thing. It's a human thing. And I would say we need somebody that's in the trench with us, and that's a coach, you know, somebody who is standing on the sideline, who is encouraging us on, because they're gonna do three things for us. You know, they're gonna inquire of our hearts and identify deficiencies and strengths. You know, so they're gonna ask these kinds of questions that are inquiring questions and identifying what's happening, why are we discouraged, what direction do we think we're moving, what's ahead, what are our goals, what are we struggling with, what are our challenges, how can we measure those goals. They're going to ask all of these kinds of things. What's our ideal future? Where is our life out of balance? And then what they're going to do is they're going to continue to inspire us and align us. And so that's the role of a coach. And you know, you talked earlier about, you know, you can spend a lot of money on a coach, but really a good coach is just somebody who's a step or two or three ahead of you that you respect. The coaches that I'll find a ministry that's close by and I'll call and I'll say, man, I'm struggling with this. Can I just come pick your brain? Can I ask you some questions? And I mean, that's how I connected with Jeff Abbott at Ada Bible. And this has been my experience that when somebody's as a pastor, we love to shepherd people. And when you get another pastor saying, I want to learn from you, pastors invite you in. You know, I think it's part of the church at Ada. They want to do kingdom work, but I think it's, you know, Jeff. I mean, I spent a whole week with him. He said, come up and spend a whole week. So I did. I equipped my church for a week and I went to Ada Bible, and because we were learning about the systems that they have for worship and technology and how everything is produced and all of that. And I spent a whole week in meetings with him and taking notes and he just was just incredibly generous with his time.
How much did I wanted you pay to learn. How much did you pay for that, Ray?
$0.
Oh my goodness.
Zero.
So
I bought donuts and I bought lunch. You know, I tried to bless them while I was in his team, yeah, while I was there. So, you know, they didn't think, hey, here's this guy who's just hanging out. You know, I tried to do that. But, and we have paid Jeff for, he'll come down and do some coaching. And, you know, we make sure that, you know, that he's taken care of for his time. But he's just the kind of guy, he wants to be generous. You know, I think you'll find that a good coach is going to help you inquire and identify these areas in your life. And then they're going to inspire you and align you. And what they're going to do is they're going to ask you, where do you want to go and what's your plan, and help you integrate that plan and help you initiate that. And then they simply evaluate and repeat that process with you month after month after month, and you'll get better. To me, that's where encouragement comes. And so you may not see some of these physical metrics in your church change right away, but there's a whole different outlook when you have somebody on the sideline who's cheering you on and saying, man, you can do this, and is not just, you know, there's some empty cheerleading, right? People that are giving you the attaboys, but there's a coach has something behind it saying, you can do this, try this, think about this, asking you good questions that you haven't asked before. And then you're seeing changes in yourself and you're seeing changes in your ministry. And when you see that happening, that's when you wake up in the morning, your feet hit the floor and you're like, yeah, I'm ready for this day. And, you know, you go to God and you ask God's blessing over your day, and it's encouraging.
Ray, you've just given our listeners a really great opportunity now. So think about where you're, I don't want to use this term deficient, but I'll use it. Think about where you think you're deficient, where you need some help. You need to learn, you need to grow. And think about the ministries in your region, okay, in your area. Where could you go and spend even a day, even a full day with somebody? Or Ray, that's phenomenal, a week. How much you would pay to hang out exclusively, you know, one on one or one with a group for a week. I mean, you're talking about thousands of dollars right there that this person just said, hey, just come and join us for a week. And then, of course, Ray, I know you. You're going to go and you're going to do the work. Your eyes are going to be wide open. Your ears are going to be wide open. Your hand is on your notebook and you're taking notes and figuring stuff out. Pastors, you don't have to spend a lot of money. This is where we're the body of Christ, right? We help each other. We resource each other. And what I did, my daughter-in-law was going around to different cities doing 1 month of her medical school training. And for a whole year, she went to a different city every month. And I was able to, in some of those cities, call ahead. And I had some contacts, some connections. A couple cities I didn't have any connections, but I found them through local churches. And I was able to find empty nesters with a gift of hospitality that would house her for that month while she was there. She had a home. She had, you know, access to a washer and dryer. There were people there. She met some phenomenal couples and really had a great time and didn't spend any money for any of this stuff. She would buy a gift for them for their home before she left, and that was all she spent. And this is using the church, right? Utilizing the body of Christ where we can encourage and support each other. And Ray, that's a great idea. That was worth the episode for somebody to hear that. And just, you guys, look around at your churches and at the leaders around you. Who can help you? And I love what you said, Ray, that pastors love to shepherd and to coach and to teach. And if you got another pastor coming to you asking for help, you're not going to turn them away. So that's some great advice. Ray, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you get to join us again sometime.
All right, thank you, Jeff. And just in my early years in ministry training, thank you for your encouragement. That you were my supervisor, and some days you kicked my butt.
I never kicked your butt. It never needed to be kicked.
But most days you just were right there telling me where the packages go and encouraging me. And that's just, you know, that's a real gift that you have. I really appreciate this podcast. It says Jeff Cady and the work of God all over it. You are an incredible encourager. And the church just needs so many more pastors to encourage each other.
Well, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for Johnny Craig, who's normally with me, and he's really the spark plug behind so much of what we do. And people like you, Ray, that step up and give of their time to do this. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff.
Johnny, wasn't that a great episode?
That was. I'm sorry that I missed it, but I'm glad to get it secondhand like
this.
Well,
yeah, I know. I'm sorry you missed it, too. When I got done with it, I realized it would have been a better episode if you were a part of it.
Aren't they all?
No. But that would have been a better episode if you were part of it. And as I was talking to him, there were a couple times when he'd stop talking and I was stuck for something to say.
Sure.
And of course, I professionally edited those parts out.
Oh, it sounds
so
great. Yeah, it sounds great.
But I realized, you know, I'm used to having you on the other seat, and we like a ping pong match. You know, we hit it back and forth to each other. We've really figured out how to do that so well, and so that when I'm talking to somebody by myself, I've got to be thinking to come up with something right for the next time. And if I'm thinking too much about what he's saying, then I'm stuck for
you're not
going
to be able
response.
To respond. Yeah, that's funny.
But
that's
his funny. What we talked about, the coaching thing.
What a story.
It's so easy to do.
Yeah.
Why don't more of us do it? And I know, Pastor, that you out there are not doing it because I don't do it enough.
You know what? We were talking about this, and I told you when I first moved to our community here, I was the youth pastor. I had never done that job before, right? It was completely new to me. Like, I was in seminary, but it's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured, well, it'll become my thing. There was a guy in town at a church, maybe twice the size of ours, and he'd been a youth pastor in this community for 10 years.
Yeah,
he went to
you
college
used to
here.
Hang out with him, right?
I didn't hang out with him. I think I even like bristled at the notion that I would. Like, I felt like too proud. Like, I can do this. I don't need somebody else to tell me what to do.
Nobody would ever think that of you, Johnny. None of our listeners would ever think that.
You don't have to backhand like that. Come on. But I'll admit, right? And it was that was foolish of me. But I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I think you even said, "Oh, you should go hang out with Chuck." And it was like, "No, I'm not. No way, I'm not doing that." How stupid, though, right? I mean, don't let your pride get in the way of learning good and valuable ministry lessons. And since then, I've had a lot of people that I've kind of mentored along, interns and things like that. And I can think of pastors like you, obviously, but others who have given me a lot of advice and mentoring. I'm not sure I've done anything as structured as what Ray talked about, but we should, and I should. And that was foolish of me not to. So I tell stories about how bad I am at things instead of how good I am at things, apparently.
Well, there's just more of those.
There's so many more, yes.
You know, I was struck by the fact that I see a lot of people who will charge a lot of money to teach people stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you come for a day or 3 days exclusive, yeah. You know, and you're paying thousands of dollars.
That's crazy.
And here this guy at Ada Bible Church told him, hey, just come ahead, mm-hmm. spend a week with me.
Yeah.
Shadow me, you know, follow me around all week.
Crazy.
And I know Ray, right? So Ray's going to be very fastidious about note-taking and everything else. And he is going around and learning all of this stuff for free. So, pastor, listener, you know, I don't know what to call you people who listen to us.
You people. Let's call them you people.
It's episode 204.
You guys.
And I still haven't figured out what to call all of you, because you're men, you're women, you're older, you're younger, you're like you guys.
Church leaders?
Nah, that's so plastic and impersonal.
You should just say a different name every time. You, Linda, you need to do this.
Jane?
Sure, John.
Okay.
Why?
All right, so Pastor Mark, listen. Listen up, Pastor Mark.
Pastor Mark.
I know there's a Pastor Mark out there. Yeah, and Mark, you know it's you. You know we're talking about you.
We are.
So what you should do, Pastor Mark and Pastor Linda, is you should look around your region. Hey, do a search. Do a search online for churches in your area.
Yeah.
And find somebody who's doing something really good. Just put a little time into this and take them out to lunch or meet them for breakfast.
Yeah.
Buy their meal. Make a list of 10 questions ahead of time and just pick their brain and see if it doesn't turn into one of these times when you could maybe go for a whole day or even an evening of strategic planning or whatever. My goodness, how much would we learn out of something like this? And we don't have to pay a red or blue cent for it.
What would you say if somebody emailed you and asked to have lunch and pick your brain? They got a church of 100 people, and they want to know, you know, what it's like to have 200 people or whatever, and they want to know what you do. What would you say?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
You'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
And I think the pastor that you might email and have this conversation with would be equally thrilled. And you know what? If they're not, oh, well.
Yeah, like, go to the next
go
one.
To the next one. Yeah, right. That's fine.
Right.
Just move on to the next. So that's what we would encourage you to do. Don't be like me. Don't be stupid and proud.
Well, in our digital age, we're so quick to sit down on our computers and look up information and trying to learn stuff. But let's be even more quick to find somebody to actually sit down face-to-face with and learn, you know, person-to-person from a real human being and not just, you know, another podcast. Of course, we want you to listen to us.
You know, we shouldn't be doing this.
Podcast or a screen.
We should be telling people that for the low cost of $197, they can have a Skype conversation with us.
97, and Johnny.
Just not 197?
Well, 97 per person.
What's your time
That's
worth?
Only 194.
Okay, 194. Okay,
yeah,
$194. And we could be this for people. We shouldn't tell them to go ask somebody else.
A 90-minute lunch.
That's totally worth it.
Of course, you got to buy your own lunch. We'll just eat
it. Well, obviously, we're not going to pay for your lunch. That would be silly.
Sure. Yeah, we could we could talk about...
If you want this for 90 minutes, we'd be happy to sit down with you.
We put little stand-ups of ourselves.
Oh,
so
geez.
It looks like we're sitting there.
Do they blink? These guys are very serious.
Oh, man.
Well, that's enough of that.
Hey, listeners, do you mind if I just start calling you people? Can I just say you people? And it just means all of our beloved listeners.
I wish we had a name. Yeah, like Lady Gaga. And I don't know. You don't know who that is. But she calls her.
I know who she is.
She calls her fans her little monsters.
She's
like, that's their name.
Lady.
You know what I'm saying?
They're little monsters?
They're little monsters, yeah.
We
need like a name for our people.
Okay, I say we call them 200 Nation.
200 Nation? That's derivative, but okay.
Yeah, it sounds a little creepy too.
Hey, 200
So
Nation.
Anyway, okay, we've wasted enough of your time.
Yes, we certainly
but
have.
But we hope you've had fun. Laughter adds minutes to your life.
Yes.
So laugh at us or with us. Either way, it'll add minutes to your life.
That's right. So
we appreciate you listening to us. Johnny, do you have a last thought?
I was just going to say that Pastor Mark, Pastor Linda, get after it, and we'll see you next time on the 200 Churches Podcast.
Amen.
We hope you've been encouraged and inspired by this episode of the 200 Churches Podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe at 200churches.com and receive the guy's free PDF download called Our 7 Favorite Ministry Resources. You can count on us to be back next Wednesday with another brand new, shiny episode just for you. Until then, may God bless you as you lead and love the people in your 200 church.
That's very cool, yeah. And yeah. My brain just went numb for a second. I had something in there, and I was listening to you. And I usually have Johnny, you know, we'll nod to each other, and we it's like a ping pong, you know, game.
Yeah, that's...
I don't have him in here this morning because he's usually thinking all the time, and I'm often listening to people. Let's see, you talk about church.
Let's talk about coaching.
Yeah, I was going to talk about, that was the other thing I wanted to talk about was coaching.
Okay, so you're not still recording, are you?
I am, but I won't use it.
Okay,
funny clips for like outtakes or something.
Okay, so...
full of mercy over here. Like that, when there's no remorse, it's like...
But this was I don't know, I think this was like not long after it happened.
You say Jesus loves him. Yes, Jesus does love him, but I don't know what to do. I don't think you got any outtakes from that conversation. That was all heaven.
If you've listened all the way to the end, then you get to hear me say happy birthday to my son Douglas. Douglas, you're 24 today, as this is going to be released on December 14th, 2016. I know you listen religiously, no pun intended, every single Wednesday morning. Happy birthday, Doug. I hope you have a great day. And in front of everybody, I love you.